Recording has started, Olivier.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. It's the ALT, the At-Large Leadership Team conference call for the mid-month. We are the 18th of February, 2014. The time is 21:06 UTC. Let's start with the roll call and apologies.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. On today's call, we have Olivier Cressan-Leblanc, Tijani Benjema, Evan Leibovich, Dev Anand-Tiluksingh, Holly Raich, Maureen Hilliard, Alan Greenberg, and Julie Hammer. No apologies noted. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Ariel Young, Natalie Peregrine, and myself, Lisa Gruber. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Welcome, everybody, and welcome to Ariel Yang for her first ALT call. So she's going to be able to get a feel of what it's like. This is quite an informal call that we usually have. Twice a month we have this, and the ALT, it's got a lot of things on its plate at the moment. So we can immediately start with the action items. And the action items, we've got the ones from the ALAC meeting of the 28th of January, and we've got the ones from the ALT meeting of the 30th of January. Let's start with the 28th of January ALAC monthly call. You will notice that most items have been completed. Let's just run through the open action items at the moment. At the moment, we've got Matt Ashtiani to work with Dave and with Olivier on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. I mean, that's maybe something that we need to work out with Matt and perhaps work out with Ariel when she takes over. Maybe Matt will be able to let Ariel know what the problem is with regards to those AIs. Then we've got a whole bunch of action items which have actually been completed. Olivier to follow up with Sally Costigan on the need to expedite visa issuance for London. So that's been expedited. It is now possible to ask for a visa right away from the main sponsor, which is going to be London and Partners, people that have bid for .London. Heidi is to ensure that the CCNSO and the ALAC meetings in Singapore are scheduled properly so that the meeting with the CCNSO can take place. That's going on. Sylvia is to check the accuracy of the Atlas 2 organizing committee list. That's also done. Olivier is to send a letter to the chair of the board with a copy of the minority statement of the draft final report on protection of IGO and INGO identified in all JTLDs. That's done as well. And finally, the last two, which are related to each other, Heidi Orich is to send a call for members of the non-PDP CCWG design team, and Matt is to add all members to the mailing list once the call for members is completed.
Could we have a status on this, please? Yes. Actually, I was in touch with Glenn. This is Heidi for the record. The call is still open. However, I do note that at a previous ALAC meeting, that Evan, Cheryl, and Alberto were determined to be members of that. And those people are, she has them, Glenn has those people on her mailing list, and the group should be starting at the end of, let me take a look, I think it's just the end of this month or end of next month, but it's going to be starting shortly. So, Olivier, do you wish to have an additional call, because we do have three people on that group already?
Hopefully I'm on it also, it's Alan.
Okay, we can add you to that, okay?
So we'll add Alan, and I think
I'm there already, is what I said.
Okay, I'll double-check. I'll make sure that you are.
Thank you.
Please.
So, Olivia, did you want an additional call to our list?
I think we can, with four people, if I count correctly, with four people in this, four or five, that's enough, I think. And we've got plenty of other groups that we need to go on, so I think this can be marked as being done.
Okay, thank you. And then for that sub-action item that is assigned to Matt, that can be deleted because it's not Matt adding them to any list. It's Glenn who's going to be adding them to the GNSO list on that working group.
Oh, well, Heidi, I'm not sure if we want to delete it. Maybe we can just tick it and say that's done as well. So that's
give him credit.
Give him credit. Give him credit.
Yay.
All right, newly assigned action items at the bottom of our page. Salanieta Tamaniko Amaro is to hold the pen on the review of the trusted community representation in Root Zone, DNSSEC key signing ceremonies. That's done. In fact, I think that this statement is coming out tonight, hopefully.
Okay.
Gisela is to create a workspace and mailing list for the at-large ICANN accessibility working group. Is that still in progress, Gisela?
Sorry, no, it's completed. The mailing, excuse me here, the mailing list has been completed and set up, and so has the workspace, and the work group has already had its first call.
Fantastic. Thank you, Gisela. Next, we have Garth, Evan, and Alan to work on the issue of the submission documentation handling and findings of the compliance investigations. We actually have an agenda item later on during this call for this, so you can just put this one aside and mark it as ongoing for the time being. Any questions or comments on the whole lot of action items that we have here? Just adding one more note with regards to the visa issuance. I understand that the hosts are sending letters which basically invite people. I understand that there has been a request for more than that to be done, for the letter to actually say that people are funded to come to the London meeting, fully funded and taken care of, which I understand in some jurisdictions does make a difference with regards to the visa issuance. I'm not quite sure what the follow-up is with regards to that. Heidi, did you get a copy of this email?
I did, yes. This is Heidi for the record. One thing, Olivier, did you want us to move ahead with the sending of the link to the currently only in English form, the request form for the invitation letter?
Thank you, Heidi. So far it's only in English. I thought that they were working on it to be translated in the 5 languages.
This is Heidi. I can follow up on that, but for the moment I think it's just in English. So
please
I think.
Check, yeah.
Okay.
That's great. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. As a follow-up regarding the visa issue, I do think that we have to make it very clear, crystal clear, that what is needed is to make the Foreign Office issue a letter to their consulate all over the world, advising that with the list of the summit attendees that are funded for that, and they are guaranteed they are not terrorists. They can send letters with this list of names, so that when people go to the consulate, they can take their visa without problems. This is the things needed. We don't need a letter, an invitation letter. We need it, but it is not enough. It is nothing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I was going to touch on this with Mark Carvell, who is the UK GAC member, and that I was supposed to see on Thursday. However, he has unfortunately been indisposed for the last few weeks. I'm not sure whether I will be seeing him in Geneva. He is supposed to be sitting on the IGF multi-stakeholder advisory group here, but I hear that he might be replaced by another UK person from the Department of Culture, Media and Sports. I will only find out tomorrow, and so I'll follow up. If I do see Mark Carvell, I will inquire. However, you do have to know that the Foreign Office is a little bit special in the way they deal with these things. And I think it would be unlikely that they would say that none of the people coming are not terrorists. They would probably ask for facilitation. I think the most that they would do would be to ask for the visa visas to be facilitated more easily. But let me just find out if I see Mark tomorrow. I'm hoping that this is the case. That's our only, at the moment, our only connection to the British government. Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. I wanted to connect something that what the Jenny had said with a suggestion I made in the chat, and that is perhaps to expedite the process of getting passport and immigration information from the people that are traveling from Atlas too. The list of people is known at this time. We can now go to them and say, use the form that constituency travel uses for collecting passport visa information if necessary. Then at that point, then the Home Office can be given by ICANN and the sponsor a list of literally not only a list of people, but a list of passports saying you're going to get applications from these people in these countries. Please be aware that they have either been pre-approved or that we are aware that they are supposed to be coming in a way that would help expedite the situation. I'm just wondering if collecting the passport information ahead of time from all the Atlas people, in the same way that's already being done for anyone that travels to a regular ICANN meeting, if that can be done in advance and help expedite the process so that when people show up at their local consular offices that they're already being expected. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan, and I fully support this idea. I'm not sure how feasible it is. I have concerns there might be some issues with the data protection registrar where the people have provided their passport details solely to constituency travel and not to be passed over to the UK authorities. But what I would like to check, and that's something for Heidi, if you could please check with both ICANN legal, I guess, or I don't know, whoever deals with these things, if this could be done and get an answer on that, because I'm not quite sure how that works. But I do have concerns that there might be an issue with this, which is silly, but there you go. You know, welcome to bureaucracy. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani again. I am worried that we are not taking the first step. We are going not with the good order, if you want. I think that the first thing is to have some interface in the Foreign Office that we can talk to. So that's
not
going to
happen.
Tell us.
Let me cut you off right away. It's not going to happen. The Foreign Office is an institution without a face. It's bureaucratic. It will basically allow you 100 times to the UK, and the 101st time, it will say, no, you can't come in, and you won't know why. It's well documented.
If you are an individual, but if you are an organization like ICANN, and if you are bringing a huge manifestation, a huge event in London, I think they will treat it differently. So it will not be a person, an individual, who will come and ask for appointment or ask for someone to speak to. It will be the organization. So if we have someone from the Foreign Office, we need first to know what they are, what they want to have in hand so that they can expedite the procedure. Once again, Olivier, I am not asking for waiving the procedure. Said perhaps we are not sure everyone is not a terrorist. I said it as a joke, but for sure, they have to do their verification as they do every time. But we have to be sure that they don't have restrictions regarding countries, regarding religion, regarding race, regarding anything. It is we need a procedure that can go smoothly. That can go in a way that people will have their visa before the summit, not after the summit. This is the problem. So I think this is something that we can discuss. We can make the high level stuff, and I can do it. I don't know if the CEO write to the Foreign Office. I think that they will treat his mail differently. It will not be me or you who are writing to them. And I remember very well that Fadi promised that he will work personally on this question, and he will be sure that everyone will get his visa on time. So please try to involve them now, because it is now that we can do something. If we are in a hurry, at the end, if we don't have time to do everything, we will lose some people who will not come to our summit. And this is one of the points of the success of our summit. If we don't succeed and have them all come to the summit, it will be a problem for us. Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, Tijani. I think you're having higher hopes than reality of the ability of the Foreign Office to recognize anything related to the real world. Sorry. I'm trying to say things and still be allowed to come back to the UK as well. But I have received an email.
They're listening.
From, I have received an email. Of course they're listening. They were broadcast, and compared to this is being transcribed in more than one language, and probably in the five UN languages, without us really knowing. Now, I did receive an email confirmation from Nick Tommaso on this inquiry, and effectively the answer was as follows: we have already engaged London and partners to produce local letters of invitation for ICANN 50 meeting delegates. In addition, they will work with the appropriate UK ministry to advise UK embassies and consulates around the world of the ICANN meeting, alerting them to see visa applications to attend the meeting and asking them to expedite visas for our delegates. London and partners will also work directly with the ministry on visa issues. I will pass along the list of Atlas II delegates for special consideration. For your information, London and Partners is funded by the Mayor of London and is the official promotional organization for London. So the list will be passed over to London and Partners. I don't see that the list will be passed to the ministry, but I think the only way I can really get a better idea and understand how this whole thing works is to actually speak to our UK GAC member, who would be able to point me to the right people and try and see if we can, add to whatever information that they have. As you can, as I've just said, there will be, UK embassies will be expecting visa applications. Now, whether that will work with all embassies or whether some embassies will have their own policy and be putting this advice in the bin is something which I'm afraid we can't really do very much about. Evan, you've been very patient, and I'm sorry you have to go.
Oh, sorry. It's an old hand.
Ah, okay. Thanks. So, Tijani, we'll follow up on that. I know we still have time. We still have several months, and I have the firm conviction that we will be able to get through to the right people. And, if we start the whole thing of visas and so on right now, then hopefully it will be able to work. That said, we can't guarantee anything.
Olivier,
and that's
I have a question.
Go ahead, Tijani.
Which kind of visa do UK need? Is it a Schengen visa?
No, it is not, unfortunately.
No.
The UK is not part of Schengen, so the UK visa cannot be obtained anywhere else but in the UK embassies. And I understand why you ask, because I know that in the Schengen visa, some embassies are more efficient than others and do respond and do allocate visas a lot faster than others do. Unfortunately for the UK, it's all Britain. So there might be some Scottish visas in the future, but not for the time being, not for another 7 or 8 months.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let's move on to the next set of action items, and that's our last ALC call. And in fact, I see that they are the same action items, apart from the newly assigned action items. Gisela is to create a workspace and mailing list for the at-large ICANN Accessibility Working Group. That's done. Garth, Evan, and Alan, the issue of compliance investigations. We'll speak about this in a moment. Matt is to work with Alan on the rules of procedure changes. Aha. Any update on this, please? Matt or Alan?
Hi, this is Matt for the record. Actually, I think that should be listed as closed. The reason why Alan and I don't need to work on it was that it was a technicality, and Alan actually started a workspace for future changes that need to be enacted as the rules are updated. But as of right now, there's nothing he and I can do.
Okay. Thank you. So can we just mark this as being done?
Yes, I'll mark it.
It's done. It's done. It's Alan speaking. It's done as much as it's going to be at this point. Over the past number of months, we have once or twice noted things that need to be changed. Unfortunately, although we noted it verbally, they never actually got noted. So we're going to have to fake that, but we'll do it.
Okay, thanks very much, gentlemen. Any questions on these? Oh, sorry, there's still one more. Sylvia is to draft a message along with David and Antelixing to outline the crop requests, since there appears to have been some misunderstanding or something that wasn't quite clear for the Reylos.
Right. Hello, yes, this is Sylvia, and Dev and I, we drafted the message. And Dev has informed me that he received feedback from Uralo and Afralo, and he will send another note this Thursday to the Uralo.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well, with regards to Uralo, I will meet with the Uralo representatives tomorrow, and I will try and outline the crop requests when we have a break at some point during the day. I have received an email asking me further information on it. So hopefully they'll be able to file this very shortly. Any questions or comments on any of these? I don't see anyone putting their hand up at the moment, so let's move on to the next part of our call, and that's going to be the Singapore meeting. Yes, because we keep on having 30 seconds on the Singapore meeting, and this is coming along quite quickly. We thought about putting this a little bit earlier than usual, and so I now open the floor for Heidi to take us through this, please. And Heidi will have to unmute before she...
Sorry, I have to unmute. I'm going to put you back. Can you still hear me?
Now we can hear you.
We can hear you.
So, Gisela, could you please put the link to the Singapore workspace in the AC chat, just so everyone has that? It's also on the agenda if you want to look at that. But I'd like to take just a little bit of time to actually go through the agendas, okay? And because we're setting a deadline this time for the 28th of this month to have those agendas finalized. So we're going to be sending out announcements to all working group chairs to send their agendas. Some of you may have received those yesterday. If not, they'll be in your... So I'd like to just go through some of these agendas. So if you could all start with Sunday, please.
Yep.
That agenda is almost complete, so we just want to review it. So if you could, I'm just going to quickly walk through that and see if you're all okay with...
It's not on my screen, Heidi.
Okay.
So... Heidi's put a link on sorry, Gisela's put a link in the chat.
So you click on that.
Open on this.
So, Holly, can you find that?
Yep, that's fine, thanks.
Okay. So we're going to just walk through Sunday. So very quickly, because it's basically the same as in the past. So in the morning, starts with Olivier. Welcoming new people, if there are anyone, and then going setting some ground rules, making sure everyone accepts those. Then quickly we're going to have a discussion with Fadi, moving on to Sally and her regional vice president, and then followed quickly by the communications team. That's Duncan Burns and Chris Gift, probably Jim Trengrove if he's going to be in Singapore. Then... this is something that I wanted to talk to Johnny and Olivier. The next one after the coffee break is the at-large selection process for the board director. Firstly, currently it says Roberto as the moderator. Tajani, I think you should be the moderator for that.
May I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead.
Speak.
Yes,
okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Tijani.
Okay, Tijani speaking. First of all, Heidi, I don't know if you know, we will start the first round before Singapore, so that we will have only three candidates in Singapore. And in Singapore, we will make a face-to-face election. What is needed is two slots of time where we can make the election face-to-face. I don't know this meeting in the morning of Sunday, what is the utility of this meeting, because we already spoke with the candidate, we already asked questions with them, and they already answered our questions. So people, the electorate, have already their mind. And They already made the first round of the election. The second round will be done in Singapore, and I don't see the utility of this meeting.
Yes, thank you, Tajani. This is Heidi. Yeah, that was actually still an old item, and that's what I wanted to get clarified today, because it was just recently where you announced that you wanted to have the first round before Singapore and then the face-to-face. So did you want this session to be the second round?
I don't think that it could be inside the Sunday meeting, because Sunday meeting is a meeting day, is a meeting day of ALAC. And
okay.
we need a special slot, even if it is, for example, at the end of the day. I already identified two slots. One is on Monday at 18 to 19, 1 hour. We can do in this hour the election, the face-to-face election. And if we don't manage to have one of the candidates with more than 50% of the votes, we have to do another one. And I have selected another slot. I will speak about it later, because it is related to another issue we will discuss.
Okay, so Johnny, this is Heidi. The meeting forms deadline for reserving room space closed last week, so the Monday at 18 won't be possible. What I would suggest is on the Sunday, you suggested maybe at the end of that session. So if we moved the discussion with Teresa up into the morning, then we could have that. Then we can have the last hour or so, from 17:45 to 18:15, or a little bit longer, I think. And we can have that be the voting time, if that's okay.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. And then Olivier, during the update on the BMS later in the day, I'll update you from my talk with legal on the actual voting elements. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. Evan, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Olivier. I'm going to disagree with Tijani for a couple of reasons, both on process and on the need for some time. I would remind that there are at least three candidates who are ALAC members, and as a result, the RALOs are going to have to pick alternates. There's a high probability those alternates would not be normally funded to come to a meeting. So unless ICANN is prepared to fund those people, then it's not going to be a 100% face-to-face vote, in-person vote. Not only that, but being held in Singapore, given that the two regions in issue are Europe and North America, it's highly possible that some of the meeting times being planned are in the middle of the night. So I would be very, very cautious about what is being proposed. Secondly, simply because there's already been one round does not negate the need for perhaps another debate amongst the people who are remaining, because it is becoming more critical. And it's possible, especially given that it will be into the Singapore meeting, some other issues will come up. So I want to allow for the possibility that there might be some more strenuous questioning happening at the second round. So I have an issue with the process. I think we need to, in advance, be able to deal with the people who are not going to be there physically, and we know ahead of time that there will be people not there physically, and we need to accommodate the possibility that there will be more, that there might be more room for debate. As a matter of fact, when I first saw the item, I almost wondered if an hour was going to be enough. I understand that there's going to be a significant amount of discussion and debates and Q&A that will happen before this, but that doesn't necessarily mean the need is going to go away for a second round. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. A couple of things. I tend to agree with Evan about the desirability of having a face-to-face discussion. I don't see the need, however, for an hour for voting. You know, it's up to Dejani, obviously, about the exact mechanics, but, you know, you can give out colored pieces of paper and have them return sometime in the next 12 or 24 hours and handle the people who aren't there via telephone or something like that without specific allocations. And the rules allow for mixed types of voting like that if necessary. And I'll also point out that there's always the potential for a tie where it may be desirable to hold a re-vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next is Tejani.
Thank you very much. First of all, Evan, all the electorate will be in Singapore. And the electorate will vote.
Tejani, you're aware that there's some people in Neralo that have not been picked yet.
Some people, do you mean some people from at large, from Arak?
I'm talking about from the 20 electors. Alan and myself are candidates.
Yes.
Neralo has to choose alternates. They have not picked
yes.
those alternates yet. Are you telling me that those alternates will automatically be funded to go?
No.
If that's the case, I think that might be news to Heidi.
Yes. No. Moment. As you know, the alternative way is to do it virtually as we did the first round. And as we approach to the final phase, you know that more and more the transparency is better. And I am proposing a face-to-face voting because I want more transparency. As Alan said, we don't need 1 hour for voting, but when I said 1 hour at the end of the day, it is we take 1 hour, but we will finish, I don't know, perhaps in a few minutes. It is not the problem is not there. If the two persons, the two replacement of you and Alan are not coming, they are not in Singapore, they can vote by telephone, they can vote virtually. This is something which is permitted by the rule of procedure, and we have to make the right mechanics with the staff so that everyone can vote with full transparency and with full confidence, with full confidentiality. So I prefer that we have two persons that are not here rather than to have all people that are absent and all the process is virtual. This is my point of view. But anyway, it is not a definitive decision because we will have a BMSPC meeting on 24 of February, and the decision will come from there. I am hearing you. I am taking this into account. I will report it to the BMSPC, and we will see the decision on 24
yeah.
of February.
Yeah, as you take that back to Jenny, just keep in mind there will be at least one and possibly many more, at least one and possibly as many as three people who will not physically be able to be present who are eligible voters. Just please keep that in mind as you take it back to the group
okay.
for the purposes okay. of voting, and also keep in mind the time zones those people are likely to be in when you plan the votes. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Evan. Coming back to the meeting that we can have in before the election in Singapore, I personally don't see it useful, but the BMSPC will decide on that. I will report also your point of view, Alan and Evan, and the BMSPC will decide on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. Just for clarity, I certainly wasn't, and I don't think Evan was talking against an election, you know, in Singapore with paper ballots or whatever the process is. I don't think we were advocating doing it all electronically. We're just pointing out that there may well be one or more voters, and hey, you know, an ALAC member can get sick and not show up. You know, that there may be one or more voters who are not physically present and for whom the, whatever time is picked may be extremely awkward, so therefore that has to be allowed for. That was the only comment, not against the overall process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Alan, just a quick question for you. I know that the voting doesn't specify whether it's face-to-face or online, but can there be a mix of online and face-to-face voting in the same election?
There most definitely can, recognizing, of course, that, you know, at some level, if you only have three people on the online vote or if the votes are taken by a staff member on the phone, there's the possible loss of confidentiality, but we're going to have faith in the staff members who are managing this to respect the confidentiality. That's the reality of the kind of world we're living in. That's from the point of view of those when the rules were written, that yes, mixed modes, the concept of everyone voting in a room except three people who will be contacted on telephone within the 12-hour period or 24-hour period was envisioned when the rules were written.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan.
And similarly, Olivier, for clarity, an all-electronic vote where you are in a power failure and cannot vote and therefore you contribute your vote via telephone was also envisioned, just as a hypothetical example.
Fantastic. What about flops? Have you anticipated flops?
And I hope staff will be collecting phone numbers and things like that in the case of that sort of eventuality.
Tijani?
Olivier, the rule of procedure stipulate this kind of situation, and it is possible to have a mixed kind of votes, no problem. So that's why I said even if someone is absent, he can vote by telephone or electronically. Or we have a lot of work with the staff to see what are the best way to do a vote which is confidential. And which can make the voter vote at its convenience, at his convenience. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And speaking of staff, Heidi Ogre, see you next.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi. Just a quick update. I did speak again with legal today, and they did confirm that, yes, a face-to-face is possible, and that, yes, just in order to make sure that there's no concern about at-large staff lack of neutrality, which I'm not saying that there is, but just in case that there would be a legal person in the room during the face-to-face votes.
That's correct. That's very good.
Okay, and the second point is that if there is going to be an online vote during Singapore where those who are not there need to be contacted, we would require that we are informed of that well in advance, so that we're able to make contact and get responses from those people so we can set everything up to where, you know, if we do need to call them or if they do need to be on Big Pulse, that they can respond in the time allocated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. Evan Libovich, you're next.
Hi. Heidi, I just want to follow up on that and thank you for doing that. If you're looking for notice, then I think what you need to do next is to contact Wolf and to contact Garth, since those are the two regions that are going to have this issue. and just to make sure that, number one, you find out who their authorized voters are, and number two, then you contact them and figure out what the right time, what the right process is to contact them about the offline voting. Since this is only in two regions, then, like I say, it's going to be a minimum of one person and a maximum of three. So that's what there is to deal with. It guaranteed it will be required for at least one person.
But recall, there's always a chance that another voter can't show up for one reason or another, or is sick in their room or whatever.
Right. So what I'm saying is it will be a minimum of one. So it's not if it will be necessary. You can assume it will be necessary, and then it's a matter now of tracking down who needs to be voted that way.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. I think we need to move on, but I was just going to focus back to the, well, to what started the discussion, which is the Sunday schedule. And having heard absolutely everyone on this point of view and so on, it's perhaps to start looking to keep that slot for the time being. The at-large selection process for board director with Tijani moderating. The reason being that I think that if we want to show as much transparency as possible, then it might be interesting to not only have our call with the candidates when all of the candidates are present, but if people wish to then ask further questions in making their final selection, then that will be an important time for everyone to be able to see not only the candidates, but the body language, etc. I do have concerns that it might be that not all candidates will be present locally, and I'm not quite sure whether that's the case or not. We would probably have to ask staff if they could find out from all the candidates if they will be available on that day at that very time. But that's really the way forward for the time being. Let's just keep it on there. Evan, your hand is still up. Tijani?
Yes, thank you. This is another issue, Olivier. You are right, it will not be fair to make this session with some of the candidates. We need all the candidates to be there if it is necessary to make this meeting. So. This is also a concern because, as we know, during the meeting, the board member will be perhaps busy with its board meetings. Any other member, but the others are at large, there is no problem, they are with us. But especially for Sebastian, he may not be able to be with us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tijani. We'll find out. And I took the opportunity to type an action item. Sorry, staff, I just couldn't help. My fingers had to type something. Let's move on back to you, Heidi, on the Sunday.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. So I'm going to just wait with that until the 24th. Tijani, when you can confirm that, okay?
Yes.
So, but again, we're coming close to the final part. The deadline for the agendas. So then moving on to that, we have then, after that session, we have Susanna Bennett, the COO, and Xavier Calvez, the CFO, for 1 hour this time, probably talking about fiscal year 15 issues. Then there's a 90-minute lunch. Then after... Hi? Is that a comment? Oh, yay, yes.
Cool.
Yes. And then after that, we have an afternoon with Maggie. That's just going to be 30 minutes because, again, as we've sort of discussed with her and Olivier, is that she would really like to encourage everyone to ask questions during her public session rather than her going around to every ACSO having the same session with that. So it's going to be just 30 minutes on that. Then we're going to have, given Cheryl's NomCom chairing schedule, she's not able to give us too much time on Tuesday, so we're going to have a quick session updates from her for the Accessibility Task Force and the At-Large Metrics Working Group. Then currently, we are confirmed, the meeting with the ESSAC. Patrick Folsom and Jim Galvin have confirmed that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's excellent. If that was Julie, yes.
And then, again, I don't know if you would like to invite Steve Crocker. That is there from last time, so I don't know if you'd like to have that.
Could I just ask you, Heidi, just two things. First, there are typo under agenda item number 9. No, not typo, but it seems that the text is messed up, so that will have to be cleaned up. But then, with the meeting with the ESAC, Julie Hammer, would you like to lead on this one?
Julie, did you want to be moderator for that
Thank
session?
Thank you, Sylvia. I'll start unmuting. Yes, I have been approved for funding for Singapore, and I would be delighted to lead on that one. Thank you.
Okay, I'll change that.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Okay, and then we have a meeting. We have a hot topic that's for 1 hour, no, 30 minutes, and that is on the Atlas, too. Wish to have that?
I'm sorry, Heidi. Sorry, what was your question?
After the ESAC meeting, we have the meeting with a hot topic for 30 minutes. Did you wish to have that be the Atlas II issue?
Well, I just wonder about this because Tijani has mentioned that he might wish to conduct first part of the vote on a Monday or something. But I'm just wondering if here. It is the end of the day. The idea is still fresh in people's minds from the morning discussions. It is also a reasonable hour for the Western hemispheres, especially the Americas and Europe, at that point. I just wonder whether it would be the right time to actually have the vote taking place. Any thoughts on this? Tijani.
No, it's not then, but I don't mind, Olivier.
Any thoughts on that? Because the Atlas II, we do have a lot more discussion in the Atlas II later on, and I think that pretty much everyone on the ALAC is involved, or nearly everyone is involved, and I just wonder whether we're just wasting 30 minutes here. And we could conduct a vote during 30 minutes, and that would be one round dealt with.
So I can leave that up to you, and again, you have until the 28th to confirm this, so you have time. So I've marked it as TBC,
Excellent.
Just so we'll make a note of that. So then after that, we have 30 minutes with Teresa, if you would like that. I think there's going to be a lot to update on that.
That'd be fantastic. Yes, please.
Okay, and then we have the 15 minutes for the wrap-up of the day and just reporting issues, but that won't take that long. So then if we can all move to Monday. So again, we have a really busy day, and I think we also have one more meeting, which is the cross-constituency group on Internet governance that Olivier, you're going to be. Is that 10:30? When is that, Olivier?
That will be at 10:30, yes. That will take place immediately after, so Olivia speaking, immediately afterwards from the opening ceremony in the main room. The chairs of SOs and ACs have agreed to lead that session for the CCWG.
Wow, Olivia, congratulations. That's fantastic.
No credit at all.
No,
just
that's
wait
fantastic.
Until it happens, then you'll see.
So how long is that, 10:30 to what?
10:30 to 12, I believe, and 11:30, yeah, 12, yeah, 90 minutes.
Okay, so Monday then is going to be really a full day, so Norello first thing in the morning, they are going to get coffee and breakfast, so those who are going to that, you should be able to eat there. Then after the welcome ceremony, we have this cross-constituency working group, as Olivier just mentioned. Then for lunch is the ALAC and CCNSO meeting. That agenda is going to be finalized, I believe, this week. And I think there's going to be a lunch for that, too. So we'll let you know more about that. Then in the afternoon is the first face-to-face meeting of the ICANN Accessibility Task Force. That's that new group that Cheryl is leading. They're going to be developing their agenda shortly. Then on the TORs and alternative naming mechanism to the DNS. So I know that, yes, Holly, that's you. Evan, that's you. And Garth. So I really need to have an agenda for that. And I would like to, as I've mentioned to Evan, to have one of our vice presidents on security issues, be one of the panelists for that. He's not going to be there, but he could dial in on that. He's
Heidi,
a real expert.
Heidi.
Yes.
Heidi.
Yes.
Patrick Ahlstrom is going to be a speaker in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now, the intention is that I would be chairing. We would have two speakers and then Q&A. So, I mean, if we want a third, that's fine as long as, like, we have an idea of what he wants to say and it's sort of in line. Right now, the way that things are being split is that Patrick is going to be talking about the technical issues and Garth is going to be talking about the practical implications. And so the idea is to sort of have that kind of 1-2 punch. If the VP speaker has a specific thing that he'd want to be able to put in there, I'm less interested in a generic presentation than I am something that's really appropriate to the commentary. I'm happy to engage with him between now and then, but just so you know, that was the intention, that it would be Patrick speaking first, Garth speaking second, and me chairing a Q&A session afterwards. If there's a desire for a third speaker, I just want to make sure that it's relevant. I'm happy to talk to him, but just
okay.
Parachuting someone in for its own sake is
without
a specific purpose is not something I'm keen on.
Okay, so could I set up a quick call with, do you want to do all three of you plus him, plus Dave? So it'd be Holly, Garth, and you just to talk a little bit? It's up to you.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I wouldn't turn anything down. I just want to make sure it's relevant to the flow
of
things.
Of course. I think you'll be impressed, but I'm not going to. Okay, so we'll make an action item for that. So that's excellent.
Just remember, Patrick's there.
yeah, he's expert too. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on, so that's Dave Piscatello, just to put Dave P. Piscatello.
Oh, Dave's wonderful.
He is. He's lovely. He's a great speaker.
I love
his
Oh, he's
oh.
Marvelous. Oh, it's him. Okay.
Dave Piscatello. It's
Woo.
Dave Piscatello. He's great.
Oh, he's fabulous.
Okay. Yeah, not a problem. Yeah. We'll figure out something. So, yeah. So this is going to be less of a call of justify yourself and more of a call of, okay, how do we make a smooth flow of things?
Actually, that may be good because Patrick's chair is in a very invidious position. Because Dave is more of a consultant, a security consultant, and at least that's the way he's listed in the SSAC, he may be more able to talk. So that's a great addition. Okay, I'm happy with that.
Okay, good to know. Thank you, Holly. Okay, and the meeting then, let's see, 2 hour. Okay, Holly, another slightly growing concern here. This is a 2 hour roundtable. This is the at-large roundtable on registration directory services now and the future.
Yep.
So in the past, that was Rinalia. And Rinalia started organizing that like the day after the last meeting. Okay.
Well,
and
I've got speakers. I've got speakers for both sessions and an agenda.
Have you sent that to us? Okay, great. Could you send that to us so we can post that?
Yeah. It'll be Steve Metallet. It'll be Kathy Kleinman. It'll be James Bladel of GoDaddy. I'll be sharing that, and there'll be somebody else. And then we've got for the EWG, it's going to be McKaylee, it's going to be, and I've forgotten, he's got two other people, Stephanie, him chairing, and he's got one other person.
Okay, well, excellent. I'm comforted to hear that. Thank you, Greg. That sounds fantastic. That's great. Okay.
It will be.
Yeah, that's great. If you could just send that to us, we'll have that posted right away. Okay, moving on. So Tuesday, Matt, could you just put the questions up, or we can talk about this a little bit later, but we have the ALAC meeting with the ICANN board that's confirmed for 8:30 to 9:30. Now, as recent practice has dictated, it's just the ALAC asking questions to the board. The board is not going to ask questions, okay? So, and there is a wiki page. Matt, if you could post that, please, in the chat. There's a wiki page on the agenda and on the Singapore workspace that where you can add your questions. Okay, and it'd be great if you could start thinking about those questions. Okay, moving on to policy discussion one. The agenda is basically set. I've been in touch with most of those people, of the chairs, most, not all. So it's basically the first hour and a half will be the update from the working groups.
Yep.
Deb, if I have not been in touch with you, I am now. So you have, I think I was in touch with, so you have both. Yeah, I know I was in touch with you because you're right after, you're doing the TTF and the crop right after one another. So Deb, yeah, you have, each one gets 15 minutes. Okay, and then after that, yes, go ahead.
Heidi, it's Olivier here. I always see those sessions called policy discussion part one and part two. But then when looking at the actual agenda itself, I see the academy working group, which is not policy, the capacity building working group, which is not policy, the finance and budget subcommittee, which is not policy. The only thing in there is the new GTLD working group and the registration issues working group, which are both policy, but the rest of it doesn't seem to be policy. So I don't know how we can go around that. And I'm responding, I guess, to criticism I've received in the past of the policy discussion being policy.
Okay. Okay. Good point. We've had that update now the last several meetings, so you know maybe that's why you're receiving the criticism. We could put those into the Sunday session. But that means that some of the sessions, some of those people probably speaking to us would need to come to this. So I'm thinking
This is what the problem is. The problem, Heidi, it's Olivier again, and sorry for jumping in, but the problem is that the people that we're seeing or speaking to on Sunday usually come to speak to us on Sunday because they're not able to come and speak to us on Tuesday due to the fact that they're busy with other constituencies. So they usually do like to take a lead by speaking to us on Sunday so that we're the box that is ticked already by Tuesday. So I don't really quite know how to go around this one, apart from maybe changing it from ALAC policy discussion part one to ALAC discussion part one or ALAC working discussion or something. I'm not quite sure.
We could ALAC do what? ALAC policy and process discussions.
We definitely don't want to use the P word.
Okay.
Not the PRO word, the process word. Terrible. Alan, you put your hand up. You might have a suggestion.
I did put my hand up. I was going to ask a question. Is the problem the sessions are in the wrong place and that therefore the title is wrong, or that I'm one of the ones who have commented on not enough policy, but I wasn't saying that's fixed by simply moving sessions around. It's we need more policy instead of process. So swapping things between Tuesday and Sunday don't change anything. We can fix that by changing the title, as you're describing right now. So I just wanted clarity. Are you complaining about the title or complaining about not enough policy?
So I'm complaining about the fact that we are spending most of our time on process, even during the policy session. And I'm a little concerned about this. This is why I'm asking you all what you think about it. If you're okay with the way that it is as it is here, then that's fine. But, you know, many of these are just quick updates, 15-minute updates. Maybe it's important to have those updates. I guess it is important. But we also do have many updates during our conference calls as well. So do we need all of these updates face-to-face as well? Open questions here.
Since my hand is still up, I'll tend to say I would far prefer, you know, things be done in writing and then an opportunity to ask questions as opposed to simply having people read their reports.
But do you think anyone reads?
That's my personal preference.
So
okay, thanks, Alan.
So,
Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. I think that the report from the working groups is not process. They are reporting on their work, so it is not process. I prefer to call it ALAC Works Part 1, ALAC Works Part 2. And if we can concentrate the policy work in one of those two sessions, we can call it still ALAC Policy Session, and the other session will be ALAC Works Session.
Thank you very much, Tejani. Back to you, Heidi.
Thank you. I know I've jumped the queue. I've just written my question in the chat to Alan, so I'll put I'll cede the floor to the next person who has their hand raised. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. Thanks, Tejani. That's it's an interesting point, and that might work out. I see Evan and Holly are in the queue. So, Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. Just as the board itself has gone into a process of not having all the committees and SOs and ACs read their reports out loud, that they're put into the record and they're made available on the websites, what I would want to do is a twofold thing. Number one, encourage the creation of action items within those working group reports and have the general session deal with those. In other words, have it not just as a presentation, this is what we did, but if there is feedback that is either being needed to be escalated up to ALAC or being de-escalated down to information and feedback from the RALOs and ALSs, then that's something that is fair game to come out of the working groups. So if something's just a report, then it's a report and it goes into the record. If it's a report that has action that calls for either ALAC to get involved in something or the ALSs and RALOs to get involved in something, that's when the meeting picks it up and deals with it. Traditionally at these meetings we have had a slot that's been sort of open-ended that we call hot topics, for lack of a better name. We have the ability to expand upon this. We at any given moment have a number of issues that are sort of hot that are being dealt with. It is possible to take people that are working on those things to escalate them. They could be statements that are in the process of being crafted or other issues. Every meeting at ICANN seems to have a couple of those that crop up. And so I have, personally, if I had my way, that the working group reports would be simply that. They'd be reports unless they had action items. And we would give more time over to a topic that would have a leader, and the leader might preferably come from one of the working groups. That issue would be raised as a matter of introduction, and so that leader would come prepared not only with the topic, but with the desired course of action, a discussion, getting information down to the ALSs and RALOs, or in anticipation of creation of ALAC action on that. I'm absolutely all in favor of doing that. We saw the board, as I said, go to receiving reports and just accepting them rather than having them all read out and taking up time. I'm absolutely in favor of doing the same thing with at large. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Holly.
It's a question and perhaps an in-principle one. For those of us who actually are slogging through working groups that are GNSO working groups or at least are not ALAC working groups, is there time or should there be time to say, look, I've been involved in this particular working group. These are the issues that have been raised. For example, I've been sitting in on privacy proxy, but also the ITRPD. They're going to be looking for consensus and then input. And it would be nice to say, even have 15 minutes saying, this is what this group is about. These are the issues raised. This is the thing that will attract comments about users in all of this. And maybe have a slot that allows for that kind of discussion so that they're working groups, but they're not ALAC working groups. They're other groups that some of us have been involved in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Holly. So I see, more hands. Tejani and then Alan. Tejani Benjamin.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Olivier. I think that making the report face-to-face from the working groups is an important thing for three reasons. First reason is that those working groups, when they present their works, they are expecting direction from ALAC. ALAC can give some direction. Perhaps the working group is going in a wrong way, and the remarks of the ALAC will make them come back to the right way. Second reason, if you are a hard worker and you love your work, you want to give your outputs or the result of your work to the ALAC. It is something that you like. I like it. I am a working group chair, and I like give a report to the ALAC because I am expecting their remarks. It is very constructive for me. And if you are not a hard worker, if you are lazy, you will be obliged to prepare something, to work something, so that you have something to present. So I think this is something that we don't have to get rid of. The experience show that it is not useless. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I'm closing the queue after Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I guess I support the beginning of what Tijani said, but not the end. And to link together what Tijani said and what Holly said, I think getting direction from the ALAC on issues is a critical thing that we don't do very well. We tend to have the ALAC largely ignore issues until it comes time to write a statement, and then suddenly it becomes the subject of discussion, whereas ALAC and at large has people who are participating in a number of working groups, both ALAC and GNSO and CCNSO, I guess, and they're to a large extent on their own until things get really, really hot and bothered. And I like the idea of people raising the issues with ALAC. I like the idea of doing it in writing and an opportunity for feedback. I mean, I normally expect, you know, that if I have a long plane ride coming up, it's an opportunity to read the documents that we need to review before having meetings. To a large extent, ALAC and at large doesn't have any of those. And I think homework assignments, getting people to write something ahead of time, getting people to read it, and then an opportunity to discuss, and yes, I know some people will not bother reading them anyway, I think is one of the really important parts of a face-to-face meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I think we have a possible solution. Let me just suggest the following. So what if the first ALAC policy discussion part one would be the ALAC work part one? And that would have both process and policy in there, but we wouldn't be switching from policy to process and process. We'd start with the academy working group, then we'd go to the capacity building working group, then we'd go to the finance and budget subcommittee, then we'd go to the at-large technology task force and the crop review team, and then we'd end with a new GTLD working group and the registration issues working group update, which are both policy work. Then in the afternoon, policy discussion part two, which would be ALAC work part two. As you'll note, there is a possible discussion with the ESAC. That's the first time that the ESAC is actually going to be coming into an ICANN meeting in a very, very long time. So I was going to suggest, because it is the first meeting with the ESAC, maybe half an hour with the ESAC, and the rest of the 2 hours, so the 1.5 hours remaining, would be used specifically for two things. One, advance notice of and input from the ALAC on issues which have come up, pretty much like what Tijani has suggested, and I think, Tijani and Evan actually have suggested on this, and supported, I think supported by Alan, and I think I support that as well, and also with a flavor of what Holly has brought in, which is, for any of you that are in GNSO working groups and that are seeing potential decisions coming up, these questions could be brought to the ALAC and discussed there and then. It is 90 minutes only, so yeah. I'm not sure how we can fit all of these, but if we can actually devise an agenda before that meeting with the issues that we want to specifically treat there, That would be probably helpful. Alan?
Olivia, could you do a global replace of RSAC for SAC in your last talk, your last intervention?
No, RSAC.
You said SAC about four times.
I keep on saying this. I'm not quite sure what's the problem. Maybe it's the way that I say it. I said RSAC. and that comes out as FDAC.
No.
But I have been accused of doing the same, making the same mistake. Obviously, ours and I are not friends. Okay, I think I've seen a number of green ticks on this, so let's proceed with that. If I can ask staff to please, if I can ask all of you actually to please put forward the topics that you think are particularly hot at the moment and important for you to be able to speak about them in that work, ALAC work part two. And you're not allowed to come up with any process discussions, so nothing about visa please. Okay, let's do that. And can we have this as an action item, please, so that someone, which used to be Matt, but now Ariel is going to go and haunt our night
so
and ask us the questions.
So, go ahead. Ariel, go.
Please state it as you want to record it.
Okay, so staff to liaise with members of the ALT on filling the ALAC work part 2, 90 minutes. And I think we can do that offline. There you go. Perfect. Liaise with members of the ALT and feel it. Yeah, fantastic. That's great. And so you can do that right afterwards, and we can come up with a – I mean, let's face it. We're not going to be able to treat more than a couple of subjects with any significance. So if we can all come to an agreement as to what the couple of hot topics are for this, then we can use this. Evan? Evan, you must be muted at the moment because I can't hear you. Either that or I'm deaf.
Oh, no, sorry. Didn't know I had the floor. Sorry, thank you. Look, we already do this in preparation for our meetings with the board. We do this in preparations for our meetings with the GAC. The community is asked to bring forward the topics that they think need discussion, need to be brought up. In this case, we simply create an extra workspace for the internal ALAC policy discussion. We get interest from the community on the topics that people think need to be discussed. I guess we, as the leadership team, can essentially choose between them and raise those and make them the formal agenda items, as these are the topics we're going to deal with. These are the hot topics. We've done this. There's precedent for how we deal with this elsewhere. I don't see why this is this is just another instance of that. Thanks.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I see there's agreement. So let's move on. Back to you, Heidi. I do realize that we are 1 hour and 15 minutes into this call, and you've hogged the whole call so far. But go ahead.
So this is Heidi. Thank you, Olivia. I do, for the record, I would like to just make clear that the discussion on the action items took 1 hour. So I've taken about 19 so far. So, so on the registration issues, Holly, if you could work with Carlton on that, getting an agenda for that. So moving quickly on to Wednesday. Olivier, this is a new meeting that we have at 7 to 8. It's a new kind of meeting. This is an ALT and RALO officers working breakfast. So since this was your initiative, which is it's a great one, but we do need to have some direction on what you would like to discuss. So that's something maybe that you want to take offline with the ALT as well?
Yes, Heidi, it's Olivier speaking. I think that just as a summary, this working breakfast is something we have done in the past, not the whole ALT, but I think some of us have done with the regional offices. And it's important because we do have new regional offices that are coming in. So there has been some changes since last time that we met, which I believe was over in Toronto, if I remember correctly. But anyway, there have been quite a few changes. And as we know, the RALO leaders are a really inherent part of the policy work that we do They don't only have to deal with capacity building, but we need that input from at-large structures, and they're the ones closest to their at-large structures to get that input. And so I'd like to keep them involved and find ways maybe that they could suggest in how they can move things forward. I do note that some of the railers are now also, when there is a policy development process going on, when there's something, you know, in the policy discussions and statements being drafted, I note that some railroads are taking leadership and are actually actively discussing the issue in their railroad, and it might be good that they can share this with their other colleagues, because I don't see all railroads doing that. But ultimately, I'd like to see railroads do this. Discussion at local level that then feeds into the global level. So that's the summary.
Okay, thank you. So, Olivier, so on that, if you could just let us know what kind of couple of items you'd like, that would be great. Okay. So on
the input from Rados. There you go.
Okay. Simple. Simple enough. Okay, seriously, that's just it. Policy,
yep.
Policy input from the Rados.
They're doing... I would say they're doing great on a lot of things at the moment, especially since there's been a lot of involvement from Railos on the Atlas too. But on the policy side, we still just see a handful of people bringing in the input from the policy, and it's a bit of a shame. We really need to find a solution to this, and that can only happen with Railo leadership being able to actively push this.
Okay, so on that item, I just want to call on Sylvia. So she has confirmed that she's reached out to all of the RALO officers for the agendas for their specific meeting. So that's AP RALO, the AFRALO, AFRICAN, and the NARALO. So those are all under discussion, and will get back to us. On the
okay.
ALT and RALO officers working breakfast, I do note that the current chair and secretary of LAC RALO, Jose and Sylvia, will be stepping down a day after that. So Sylvia, when is the election? Will the new people be known by that time?
Yes, they will be known. Let's see, the election is the 15th of March. So it will be right before the meeting. And Jose and Sylvia will be still in their positions until the end of the ICANN meeting. So the new people will take their post when we come back from Singapore.
So, Olivia, I don't know if you would like to invite all of them to that breakfast, just as a transition sort of.
March 28th.
I need one confirmation from you, because it wasn't so last time in Singapore, but are the breakfasts paid for?
This one we've requested it. So catering, it has been requested for that. Normally, if it's a 7 o'clock breakfast, then yes, you're going to get some kind of buffet. But Gisela, have you had that confirmed yet?
Gisela, Heidi, Gisela here. Can you hear me? Gisela here?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'll get the confirmation for the catering with other catering requests made as well from meeting staff, because the meeting itself has been confirmed. Then I'll just get back up that the catering will be provided as well.
Okay, thank you. Let's have all four from LAC RALO, please. So then they can also act as a smooth handover, basically.
Okay.
Alan?
Just a comment. That's presuming they're there. I'm not. Is it obvious they will be? In any case, what I raised my hand on is, can you make it clear later, as you finalize the agenda, whether liaisons are deemed to be part of the ALT for this breakfast or not? I don't need to know now.
Optional.
Okay.
Okay.
Optional, Alan. The reason being that we are going to be discussing policy, and of course our liaisons are our primary inputs of policy from the other parts of ICANN. So I know that you all have very busy ICANN meetings as well, but it would certainly be an asset to have the liaisons to be able to tell us about the GNSO,
okay.
The CFNF,
just suggesting you make it clear,
etc.
Yeah, just suggesting you make it clear because it's not always the case. So,
yeah, thanks. Good
so
point.
Olivier,
Tijani, and sorry, and then
yes,
back to you, Heidi,
yes.
Afterwards. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier. Having the Lacalo leadership changing at this moment is very critical because we have election. And I don't know, since Sylvia said that the actual leadership will remain till the end of Singapore, it is okay. But we have to find a way to make all the RALOs have their changes at the AGM. So that we don't have such a problem. Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much, Tijani. And that's something for the RALOs to work between each other. Unfortunately, I don't think the ALAC has the power to impose calendars to the different RALOs. And I maybe that's something that the RALO leadership during the RALO leadership meeting should discuss.
But it has an implication on
Tijani, if I could, just
yep.
Really quickly.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, so the new incoming chair and secretary of LACRALO will, from now on, after this, be changed at the AGM. So they're just implementing a little bit differently this time, but the aim is then for the next time that they're going to be reelected, that will be at the AGM, I believe, 2015.
That's better.
Okay. So this is just the last time. LACRALO has always had their elections at this time, so they're just changing now for that.
Thank you.
So, and also on that last point, Alan, you made, yes, we're going to confirm if those new people will be in Singapore or if they can join remotely, okay? So we'll work on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I'm conscious of the time, so we're just going to go a little quicker on that, but this has been really useful. I appreciate that. There was a question. The AP RALO monthly meeting is Wednesday 8 to 9. Again, Sylvia has been in touch with all the RALO chairs, so that will be forthcoming. Now, we do have several Atlas joint meetings scheduled for Wednesday, and I've just seen recently some email exchange if that is really the case. So I think on tomorrow's Atlas 2, on Thursday's Atlas 2 call, that might be confirmed. Currently, there's an Atlas II meeting organization committee part 1, 9 to 10:30. There's one later in the day, 12:30 to 1400, and then there's a final one. That one's actually with the regional secretariats, that working lunch. And then the Atlas II organizing committee meeting part 2 is 16 to 17:30 on Wednesday. So it may be that this last one at 16 to 17:30 is canceled.
You do have a problem on that page. All the titles are at the bottom.
What? I'm not seeing that.
Oh. Oh, I just refreshed it and they moved up.
check your bifocals.
Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier.
Tijani, go ahead.
You said that the second part of the Atlas II organizing committee is canceled. Did you say that?
No, this is Heidi. Tijani, I think that because of the question on whether all those three meetings need to be held, I think that issue might be brought up on the organizing call on Thursday.
Yes, this
okay.
is one of the... Okay, may I speak, please?
Go ahead, Tijani.
This is one of the issues that I shared with you, Heidi, and with Olivier, and with Eduardo. I think that three meetings for the organizing committee is too much. And we have to prepare our homework before coming, and we need only one Atlas II organizing committee meeting, and we will have a joint meeting with the other working group. We have to keep it, but we have to get only one Atlas II organizing committee meeting, in my point of view. I raised this point with you, and I hope that it will be raised during the meeting of the organizing committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
But,
Tijani?
But But Olivier, please keep this slot of time. Perhaps we will need it for a second election.
We will very not, good point,
we will not
Tijani,
need
yeah.
1 hour and a half, but keep it.
Good. Very good
okay.
point, Tijani.
Good point.
So
yeah.
let's keep that, yeah.
Okay, good point. So keep for possible election. Okay.
Back to you, Heidi.
So, yes, finally, we're going to go really quickly here. So the IDN working group, that's going to be 17 to 1800. I've followed up with Edmund and his co-chair, Renalia, for the agenda on that. That will be forthcoming. And then, again, please make sure that you're all aware that the AP Rallo showcase is now Wednesday, 18 to 19:30. And that is going to be a real treat. Again, given Holly and the other efforts on getting funding, that is going to be an extraordinary show. So I do, yes. And you'll be eating very well as well. So I do encourage everyone to come to that. Okay. So then, thank you again, Holly. Well done. So moving on to Thursday, just a couple of meetings there. We have the Future Challenges Working Group, Evan. I've sent you and Jean-Jacques a reminder for the agenda for that. Just to let you know also, Evan, that Ariel is now going to be your main staff support for the Future Challenges Working Group. Okay? So if you want to hold a meeting apart from the public meetings, please get in touch with her and she'll put everything into place. Okay? Then we have the wrap-up session, 9 to 12. That's 3 hours. And that's in the standard format. So we have reports from the RALO chairs, the ALAC liaisons, and then action items, a quick review of that. And then we have the ALAC action for any votes. And then we have a chair's announcement. So I encourage you all to be at that one too, including Matt. Matt, squeeze into your schedule that session, okay, Matt?
Hi, it's Matt. I'll do what I can, but again, I'm going there for different reasons. So
I understand.
I'll do the best I can.
Okay. And then finally, Thursday, right after that, and before the public forum, we have the meeting, ALAC meeting with the NCSG. And again, Olivier, if you could work with Rafiq on which agenda items you would like for that, that would be great. Friday, we have the ALT meeting. Now, again, this one is starting 1 hour earlier, and you're going to be getting a nice hot breakfast for that, for getting up early. And, again, the current schedule is the same. It's, again, meeting with David Olive in the hot seat, followed by Steve Crocker. And then we have the Next Steps to London. So just a discussion. It's a one-hour session, ALAC, then Atlas II, really looking at the summit, and then ALAC strategy development. Now, I've left that item in. That was something that Renalia had asked for in Buenos Aires, so I don't know if you want to keep that one, that hour session on ALAC strategy. So, Olivier, it's up to you, or the ALT, it's up to you.
Thank you very much, Heidi. The floor is open. I see Evan Leibovich with his hands up. Evan, we have the floor.
Two things. Did I miss as we were going through it? There is going to be a GAC meeting with us this week, in the week, will there?
Yes, there is. Good point. That is still being scheduled. We're just confirming that with the GAC. They're aware of what you wish to talk to them about, and I'll follow up again, but I followed up with the support staff a couple of times, and we just don't have a confirmation yet. So, yes, that is going to be added, and I'll let them know.
Because actually I'm meeting with Heather on some unrelated business next week, so if there's anything that will help at this point, let me know.
Okay.
But also, I wanted to make a point, and this goes back to the conversations we've had earlier in this call. It's been my experience that Thursday ends up being almost a pure policy day, that this is a time when stuff that has been collected through the rest of the week comes in for votes. This is when things like possible comments at the public forum are written up. Actually, I find that what we call the Thursday wrap-up is actually the most policy-intense meeting that ALAC does. I've never seen any process discussion go on the Thursday meeting. So I don't know if that matters anything to how you're slicing, dicing, and calling these things. But the Thursday meeting tends to be very, very policy-intensive. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan, and thanks for reminding us this, this very fact. One question that has come up is whether any of the statements that are being drafted and presented over to the ALAC on the Thursday wrap-up could actually be presented the night before, so that people have something to read in advance of coming to the ALAC meeting. I'm not sure whether that's possible or not, but it's a suggestion. Alan?
Thank you. May I suggest you'll either have a renewed or a new board member selected by this time. You might want to slot for a free and open discussion.
That's a very good point, Alan. Thank you very much.
Olivier,
we're going to have to find more time. Go ahead, Heidi.
I'll bring something up under the next item on the, in two items, is the update from the BCEC. So I'll bring up an item about the due diligence at that point that may depend on whether it can be announced during the Singapore meeting.
Ah, you're absolutely right. That's right.
Okay, so that is a possibility.
For the time being, yeah. Any other comments or questions on the agenda? So I had one more comment, I think, before we move on. First, they need to be updated in the other languages. I think some of them haven't been translated yet. But then I was going to suggest also that in line with the memorial that we had for Gareth Sherman, we also have a memorial this time around for Alain Béranger, and I wonder if there is... I know that Alain did not actually sit on the ALAC, but I know that many of us have dealt with him very closely, and the ALAC has been helping, ALAC members have been helping for the creation of NPOF, and we know that Alain has done a lot of work for that. Evan Ivanovich?
Hi, Olivier. I'm in agreement to do something, but it has to be done in concert with the folks at NPOC. So if I can make a request, Olivier, could you get in contact with Marie Laure and Cintra, see if they're doing anything, and perhaps add our assistance to them? This isn't something we should be initiating. Alain was known to many of us, and I want to do something, but I really think at this point it should be his constituency that takes the initiative with our support as opposed to vice versa. I'm happy to help, but this is for NPOC to do. I want to support them, but I think that Marie Laure and Cintra, if not, they should be taking the reins on this.
Excellent suggestion, Evan. So here is an action item for Olivier. Olivier to contact Marie-Laure Demineur, chair of NPOC, to find out, regarding Alain Béranger. Effectively, I'll try and find out what's going on at NPOC regarding that. Perfect. Thank you very much. Tijani Benjamin, next.
Thank you, Olivier. I have a question. What about if they don't want to do anything?
Then I'll come back to you, and then we'll cross that bridge if we need to.
Okay. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because I don't accept that we don't do anything if they don't do. We want to do something, and it is good to do it with them, but if they don't want to do, we have to do that.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, I note Heidi has written that the GNSO Secretariat is arranging for a certificate to be presented in the public forum. That's one thing that is taking place.
Olivia, this is Evan. I agree
Evan
with Tijani, but first we need to ask if it's, I think it's highly unlikely NPOC is not going to do anything, but obviously let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any other questions or comments on this? I don't see anyone else putting their hand up, so Heidi, back to you.
Well, I,
I think that that just brings us to the end. So Gisela can still follow up with Olivier on the informal meetings that are being held. But that takes care of the formal meetings. And thank you very much. I think we made some good progress on that. Olivier, do you want to move on to the hot topics, or did you want that to be that one action item?
3B, I was just going to, well, the hot topics for the ALAC in Singapore, I need to really get an answer today because the deadline was yesterday, I believe. As per usual, I have been contacted by the ICANN department that deals with the meetings brochure. And in that, I usually have to, as all of the chairs, have to say really what to watch for with the ALAC. What are our hot topics? What are we working on? I plan to be touching on Atlas II, obviously, but I also plan to be touching on the public interest commitments, which, of course, we're going to touch on a little bit later on in this call, if we have a bit more time. And I'm open to suggestions as to what else is going to be hot for the ALAC in Singapore. Let's have a couple of minutes on this, please. Okay. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I agree with your proposal. I think that Atlas II is a major event and perhaps it is a hot topic for us. But it is not, if you want, we will not discuss it it is only to, because in Singapore we will be more or less fixed. Everything will be fixed in Singapore, so we will not discuss, it will be implementation more than discussion. The peak is very important. Very important thing, a topic that we can consider as a hot topic. As you know, Singapore will be a few weeks before Sao Paulo, and yes, last time in Durban, in Buenos Aires, we addressed this topic, and it will not be the same this time. So yes, perhaps the peaks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tijani. If any of you have any other thoughts on this one, please email me because I'll send my email in the next couple of days or back to the communications department on this. Next on the agenda is the development of questions, and I don't think we have time to look at all of the questions on there. I think that the GAC questions workspace will definitely have the topic of the PICs. I don't know whether the discussion with the board will have the topic of the PICs as well. If you want the topic to be on there, please put it in the wiki, and we'll be able to come back to it during the next call. I'm just very wary of the time that we have at the moment. In fact, we don't have at the moment. Evan?
Oh, all right. I'll make this very quick. As you know, Olivier, I'm presently working on a proposal for public comment that will not only address the PIC, but will provide perhaps a reasonable alternative proposal between the ALAC and some other constituencies. So this is not just the intention of doing a comment that complains about the PIC, but actually offers a constructive alternative in some cases of it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. Let's move on to part number four. Agenda item number four is all updated. If you've got the old agenda, then you need to reload your page, and you'll see that it's all updated with the latest. There are a few things at the moment which are being considered. Let's go quickly through them. The first one, review of trusted community representation in Root Zone DNSSEC key signing ceremonies. We're voting on this. Second, accountability and transparency review team final report and recommendations. Rinalia is currently has drafted a statement. She sent it to me and then to a couple of us, and we'll soon be putting it on the wiki. Status update from the expert working group on GTLD directory services. I have asked that a question be put to our chairs or co-chairs of the registrant issues working group. I'm not sure whether there's feedback on this yet or a bit premature to ask for it.
There will be. there will be. Both working groups are now at the stage where they're developing a paper to go out for comment at Singapore. It's not quite there yet, but it's almost ready for discussion. Both of them.
Okay. Thanks. Do you think if you can put something on the wiki, that'd be great? I mean, do you think there needs to be feedback from the ALAC at this point, or should we wait for the final report?
Wait till something actually comes out. But, Alan, I know that we're keeping you up late. I can only say now you can sympathize with us at 2 in the morning. But I want to talk with Alan about the ITRPD paper before we finalize that for comment. And I know that there's stuff that's going out for the privacy proxy stuff that, again, that's getting ready for release at Singapore as well. So I was going to tic-tac with Carlton to see where the EWG's put up, where they're up to as well, because they're sort of two related topics, and then have him feed back to me where EWG is, and then just have that as a joint report in the registration group.
Okay,
but
thanks very
today.
Much, Holly. Yeah, thanks. I'll just let you follow up with Alan directly and with Carlton,
yep.
Of course. Next, the proposed modifications to GNSO operating procedures to address resubmission of motions and working groups self-assessment. Alan, you're on the call. You can tell us yes or no.
He's gone to sleep.
I'm sorry, I was sleeping. On GNSO operating procedure one? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, indeed. Yes, we are, Alan. Resubmission of motions and working group self-assessment. Should we comment or not?
No, we should not.
Excellente. So this one is no statement. Thank you. Next is translation and transliteration of contact information working group SOAC input request. Now, that's been asked of the IDN working group, and I think that it's more than just IDN working group. People have discussed this. I think, is it Rinalia who's taken the lead on this as well? I'm not quite sure who has taken the lead on this. Evan, please.
Thanks, Olivier. There is actually a bit of an active discussion going on the ALAC list right now. Rinalia has come up with some suggestions. There's been comment from a number of people, and in fact some of the comment may be not to do anything now. Wait until the expert working group has come up with its mechanisms to deal with using 8-bit characters and who is and that kind of thing as a basis. Some of the recommendations in Rinalia's original paper touch on things that I think are still under active discussion, and in fact may result in no advice at all at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Adam Greenberg?
I disagree. I'm not part of the working group, and I might be slightly out of date, but I don't think so. The issue is not, the expert working group is going to be looking at it from the point of view of their great new registration system, which presumably will not be limited to 7-bit ASCII. The situation is very different today, where if a name that's registered in Arabic or Chinese or any one of many other languages and scripts is to be inserted into the Whois database, either it is going to be completely unreadable and have no meaning whatsoever, or someone has to do translation transliteration. And right now, there are no rules and guidelines for how to do that. I think the expert working group in their new system, when and if it's implemented, will be a different set of rules. But I don't think that's the issue today. I remind people, there is a second expert working group that is aligned with the translation transliteration process that is working on, again, the today's world in conjunction with the PDP. And the expert working group, the registration issues expert working group, I think is future. And I don't believe that's the issue that we're contending with today. The real question is, if we want Whois information to be usable, then at this point something has to be done, and we should I believe that ICANN should be providing guidelines and not leaving it purely at the discretion of the registries and registrars.
Okay, thank you for this, Alan. Let me just ask that the discussion continues on the ALAC list, but we need to have a shepherd to make sure that whatever the discussion, whatever consensus the discussion reaches, gets brought into this public comment. I wonder, I know that Rinalia has launched on this. Could I just ask then that it's Rinalia who is in charge of this, but that Evan, whom I know you have followed as well, make sure that this gets looked at and gets bridged over to the PC.
Actually,
Alan,
Olivier,
if you want to be involved as well, then you can. Evan?
Yeah, well, in fact, I was just going to say that given Alan's input here, I wouldn't want to do it without him.
Okay. So the three of you. Rinalia, Evan, and Alan.
Yeah, if we care about who is, then I don't see how we can ignore this.
Just make sure that, this is an important thing. And please, because it's also who is related, copy the registrant issues working group as well.
Yes, please.
Remember,
well,
it's not only ALAC people that are on there, it's also people who are not on ALAC. Yeah. So we need to get our working groups, because if we start doing policy work and not involve the working group at the same time, then they're just going to feel disenfranchised. Did I say that? Yeah, disenfranchised, the word. All right, next. Translation, transliteration of contact information, working group, SOAC input request, same thing. Sorry, that's what we were just talking about. Proposed review mechanism to address perceived inconsistent expert determinations on string confusion objections. I love the way that they say it's perceived inconsistent expert determinations when the expert determinations are actually exactly the opposite on the same word. But, I guess that my perception might be, some people might perceive it differently. Alan, I know that you wrote the original draft for this, and I guess that it somehow triggered a red light on the board about this. Should we comment on that, or should we just say, please read what you said before?
I'll be candid. I didn't look at what they're proposing. They are proposing that they do something, which is what we said. We said get off your butts and do something, and they're outsourcing a review. I guess I should look at it and say something. I guess either we approve of it or we think the methodology they're proposing is really stupid and we should say that. So I guess we do need to, we owe them something on that.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. And I note that
I was hoping to avoid it, but we probably can't.
Well, it's currently marked as Evan, as our chair of the new GTLD working group, needs to confirm whether a statement on this PC is necessary or not. So Evan might save you and
Leave Evan there and we'll confer. but he's the one to yell at when we don't get it done.
Excellent. Let's go to agenda item number 5.
I could go home for that treatment.
25, 35. We've got 40 minutes of call more, and that's not going to fly very well because we've been on the call for 2 hours.
Or 6 or 7 hours. Remember, the Singapore item was only 10 minutes.
Okay, gentlemen, you're not helping with making that call short. Let's go. BMS PC update. That's going to be very fast. We have spoken quite a lot about it earlier. Tijani, do you have anything else to add to our discussions we had earlier on the board member selection process?
Thank you, Olivier. I think we said the important things. We will have a meeting of the BMSPC on 24th of February, and we will establish the final agenda for the election for everything. I think that we discussed the most important things, which was the face-to-face meeting, face-to-face election. As you know, this face-to-face election, we need a lot of work with the staff to see how we will do with people who will not be able to be in Singapore. and to find a way to make their vote as confidential and as trusted as possible, without any problem of confidence, etc. And I hope that we will not have any tie, but if we will prepare the procedure to deal with the ties beforehand, so that we will finish everything in Singapore. Let's hope.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I saw hands going up. Evan, Alan, and then Heidi. So, Evan, you have the floor.
Hi. Actually, Tijani, this question is for you, and it's a matter of clarification. In the last Naravo call, there was some confusion going on as to who can be picked as a voter to replace Alan and myself. So right now they're going through that process, and one of the things I wanted to get clarification from, and you can tell me now, or maybe this can be done later, is the Naravo appointee to the NOMCOM and the Naravo, one of the Naravo people on the BCEC, are people who have been proposed by others as possibly being voters. So I wanted to make sure, number one, whether or not it was absolutely not possible, or whether or not the optics are bad. I'd just like to try and get some kind of feedback, because there was a significant amount of confusion on the Naravo call, and I don't know if Garth has called you directly, but there's definitely a good use for some clarity there. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Tijani?
And that's just the time. He said he called his he dropped his call.
Dropped. Okay. So
do I have to repeat myself with all of that?
You might have to. And okay, don't ask me to summarize, please. Oh, no,
please, Evan. I listened to the first part of your question, but not to the end. So can you summarize your question so that I can answer it?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. Okay, simply speaking, Tijani, in Naravo there was significant confusion in the last call because, as you know, we have to pick two people from within the region to replace Alan and myself, who can't serve as voters while we're candidates. So what I would like to find out is whether two of the people that have been proposed by members of the community include the sitting NOMCOM person who is selected by the region and also one of the BCEC members from the region. So I'm hoping to get is some guidance, either what the regulations say or what the optics say about the good or bad if these people are involved in the process, or if we should just be looking elsewhere.
Thank you, Evan. For the member who is member of the BCEC, normally he doesn't have to be a voter. But if he is member of the BMSPC, there is no problem.
No, it's not BMSPC. We have one on the BCEC, and we have one who is the NOMCOM rep.
NOMCOM, that's right. Okay. So I don't see anything in the rules that forbid the use of the NOMCOM members to be voters, but in the BCEC we avoided in the composition of the BCEC we avoided to choose the voters. But also there is Alan is here, he can confirm or infirm what I am saying. There is nothing in the rules that prevent members of the BCEC to vote. Alan.
I guess I have a different interpretation. The wording is somewhat vague from the statistics. It says no member of the electorate may be part of the BCEC in the same year.
Alan, it is the candidates. No member of the BCEC can be candidate.
No, I believe you'll find there is a statement about electorate.
Okay, I will check it.
The argument that the counter argument that was posed, there is an explicit statement about the electorate and the BCEC. The counter argument that was stated was if the BCEC dissolves before the formal election is held.
Yeah.
then that rule doesn't count because they're not, because the word simultaneous is used. And my personal opinion, again, having drafted the rules, is that that would be catching it on a technicality. Just like NOMCOM sit around, I'm guessing the BCE will stay in session just in case there is some issue it must resolve. So dissolving and then the person immediately becomes a voter, I would think is perhaps legal but on a technicality, and I would think the optics of that are bad. But it's Tijani's call, not mine.
In any case, event, I will send you an email. I will send an email to the list to explain what is in the rules.
Okay. And actually, I was part of that discussion. And so, Tijani, the question is: the BCEC right now still sitting? Has it been disbanded, having done its job, or does it still constitute? Does it still have meetings, or did Roberto say, "Okay, you've all done your job. Go home."
Between you and me, the BCEC finished its work, especially because there is not an addition to the slate from the Realos. So they don't have anything to do now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Evan, and thanks, Tijani. I see Alan and I see Heidi.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Just on a comment on that, I would say not having anything to do is different from formally being disbanded, but that, again, is Tijani's world. I do have a question for Tijani, though. Last time around, there was an opportunity for at-large members to pose questions to the candidates, an opportunity for candidates to compose answers and post them, and an opportunity to have a public meeting, or maybe there were more than one public meeting prior to the voting started, to have the candidates state positions and answer questions. And unless I've missed it, I have not seen anything discussing that schedule. And I guess as a candidate, I would like to have some clarity as to if people are going to be asked to pose questions, that has to be done rather soon if we're going to give the candidates any time to answer them. And to schedule public meetings, that normally has to be done, you know, with a fair amount of lead time also. So I'm getting a little bit worried about that we have no plan details on those. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Alan. As I told you, on 24th of February, the BMSPC will meet. And as proposal, I have prepared proposals for the meeting. One of those proposals is a call with the candidate where the electorate can ask questions to the candidates and the candidates can answer those questions. This will be announced just after the meeting, I mean on 24th of February, so that if you want, the electorate will prepare themselves to pose questions. And the candidate prepare themselves to answer questions. I didn't program any online questions and answers. It is a good thing. Yes, last time we did that, but yes, I will propose it to the BMSPC. Okay.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next is Heidi Orich.
Thank you very much, Olivier. So a couple of items. On this item, I've posted the schedule as posted for the at-large board member selection timeline, and I see that on the 23rd of February is when the publication of the final slate is to be published. And Tijani, I'm hearing that the BMSPC call is the 24th. Sorry, are you planning on still announcing it on schedule on the 23rd, the final slate?
No. Yes, you know that this date of 23rd of February is now not useful because there is not an addition to the slate. So the slate didn't change. There is no final slate. The initial slate will be the final slate. So that's why we didn't highlight this time now in any case, I programmed the BMSPC meeting just after the 23rd in case there were there was addition, but there wasn't, fortunately.
Okay, so this is Heidi, just for the record. So you're saying that the slate that the BCEC announced is the final slate, even though we're a few days off of the deadline for RALO support, just because you're not seeing any activity. Is that correct?
No. Yes, Heidi, because the deadline for the RALOs to propose addition was the 11th of February, and there wasn't request for addition. So there will not be a deadline for the support. There will not be any support. Since there wasn't addition, there will not be any support.
Okay, I didn't see that date of the 11th. Okay. So then the second item is the issue of the slight change in the schedule, the estimated schedule for the announcement of the winner and the due diligence. So last time I noted, I think it was the last ALT call, it may have been an ALAC call, I noted that before the winner can be announced, that legal would need to finalize the due diligence, the deep dive. And it was noted on, I think, Alan, you noted that the optics would not be good if the holdup was legal. So I just wanted to set the record straight that it is not legal that's holding the schedule up. It's basically because the schedule of the announcement had changed, had been moved up by 1 month. So what we need to do is, if you are now planning on announcing the winner in Singapore, we need to start that deep dive due diligence ASAP. So the first step in that will be emails from me to the five candidates saying that you're going to be, that they will be getting emails from this third party who carries out the due diligence, just confirming that the emails are correct and that you understand that. Then that third company, that third party due diligence company, will be contacting the five candidates, and then the deep dive will begin. Okay, so the aim is to be able to complete that deep dive by the Singapore meeting, so the winner can be announced there. Okay, I just wanted to state that, and that comes from a discussion I had with legal today.
May I have a question?
Thank you, Heidi. Back to you, Tijani.
Yes, may I have a question, Heidi? What is the result of the due diligence? What about I don't know? Shall we be told that this candidate will not be acceptable? What is the need of this due diligence?
So this is Heidi for the record. So this person is going to be a board member. So ICANN has I think a right to do a deep dive due diligence to make sure that a board member on their board does not have any issues that they wouldn't want a board member to have. So that's the normal, NomCom people do that, et cetera. So this is just a normal process. So Tijani, I'm happy to have a call.
Yes,
go ahead.
If I could answer this, having been on the NomCom, I have been given details, that's Olivia speaking, details on what the deep dive does. The deep dive checks first that all of the information which was provided by the applicant is indeed correct. It also checks whether the applicant has any links to terrorism, any links, has been involved in any kind of fraud or anything like that in the past, because there are laws in the U.S. which prevent people that have criminal records to take on positions, and especially, I think, in ICANN, in a not-for-profit organization. There are a number of things which are being checked, and they do ask for permission from the person, but they also make use of information which is more gray than usual, so as to find whether that person has got anything that they wish to hide.
Thank you, Olivier, for the answer, but I think it is too late for that. This must be done before the BCEC issue its first slate, its initial slate. We don't need to make people on slates and to make people vote for them, or at least make them lobby for people to vote for them, and then they say no, this one is not good. It was good to make it at the beginning of the process. Yes, please.
It's a very fair point, Tijani, but there is also, I think, an issue of costs. Certainly on the nominating committee, there was an issue of costs, and only the final slate of candidates went through the deep dive. You're speaking of several thousands of dollars, if not more than thousands, maybe tens of thousands per candidate. So these are hidden costs.
Okay, thank you.
That's a concern. I see a lot of hands up at the moment with Alan and Evan and then Heidi again. So Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, just for the record, I tend to agree with what Tijani just said, and the cost be damned. I have never heard of a case for an SO where they had a vote and then were told they can't release who won until we do due diligence. And there have been contested elections for board members for SOs. So I'm just wondering if there new rules are being invented here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. As far as I understand, when I was on the NOMCOM, which was in 2010, the nominating committee was making use of the due diligence. The SOs and ACs were not at the time. And this is what has changed since, because there's been a big question mark as to why the NOMCOM input needed to be vetted by this costly system, whilst the SOs and APs could elect any kind of creep if they wanted to, and that would work without any trouble. An issue of double standards. I don't know when the policy changed. Evan Leibovich?
Thanks, Olivier. I just want to clarify, Olivier, Heidi, whoever wants to answer this, that this due diligence check is a matter of a factual check, that this is a combination of an equivalent of a police check, of a check against blacklist, terrorism lists, or whatever, and a verification that the information was provided was correct. Am I correct in assuming that there is no personality analysis, or there is no evaluation of whether or not the person is quote-unquote the right person by some unspoken criteria? Because this is something I really, really oppose. The whole point of this election is to pick somebody that is satisfactory to at large, not from some externally applied criteria of who is the right person for the board. That's why we have this. So I would like a confirmation that the due diligence process is simply a matter of fact-checking and police verification.
Evan, it's Olivier speaking. That's absolutely correct. And I think that you might be looking at FBI-level check rather than just police check, because police would be local while...
Oh, no, I'm assuming yeah. Even Interpol, considering that it's a global slate. So, I mean, that's
correct. That's basically it. You've hit the nail. It is basically that. It has nothing to do with personality of people and with whether the person speaks English, French, or German.
Okay.
Okay.
Put
it this way, and it comes back just a short way. I think it goes to a certain depth, but obviously it's better than nothing, put it this way.
Okay. Olivier, I have a suggestion that has to do with the timing, and it combines a couple of different issues. Because, as Tijani has correctly noted, there are no petition candidates coming from the Rallos. So, in other words, the deadline of January 28th has come and gone, and there's no identification of additional candidates that's going to happen. Can we start as soon as possible to put in the due diligence for the five candidates, now that we know that it's going to be five, now that we know there's not going to be any additions? We have the luxury in this cycle of knowing how many there are ahead of time, ahead of the 23rd deadline. So perhaps we've got a little slack to be able to move a little faster than might be usual in doing the due diligence. Take advantage of the fact we have no petition candidates and start that sooner.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan, for the suggestion. Heidi, was it the intention to pass all five candidates through DD or just the last two?
No, right now, in order, this is Heidi for the record, in order to have the due diligence completed by Singapore, we would need to start now. So I think that what I'm hearing is that we should go ahead and do that on all five candidates, ASAP.
Make it so.
I'll note two of them have already gone through this.
I did ask that question to legal, and they said that, no, there will be another due diligence done on those people.
Yeah, who have you joined last week?
Okay, everyone. Time is really of the essence here. We are 2 hours and 15 minutes into this call, and we need to finish this very soon. Any other questions to Tijani on this section? Evan, your hand is still up.
Oh, just one last question. Given that this is all factual, do they actually still need to contact us, or are they just going to be working simply on the information that's been provided already? Is that sufficient? Is there a need for a contact?
So, again, Olivia, if I could, this is Heidi. What legal has told me today was that all five candidates will be contacted, and there will be a deep dive done on them. Again, I think the third party is going to then contact them. I'm not sure exactly of what happens after my email goes out to the five candidates and I get confirmation. So I think after that point it goes up into the legal department doing that.
Okay, thank you very much. And so to all of our candidates, if someone follows you around with a big hat, please don't get scared. It's just the due diligence. Don't worry about it. Oh, fine. Next. That was a joke, by the way. New GTLD Working Group Policy Advisory Board discussion. Let's move on. Next steps. We need to know where we're going on this, and so I ask for Evan to please provide us with a quick rundown on what is happening with this policy advisory board discussion.
Okay. Essentially what's happened is at the last ICANN meeting, a number of people from the business constituency approached a number of us within ALAC saying that there were really concerns about the PIC program, that it wasn't addressing the GAC concerns about sensitive strings like .bank and things that were in regulated industries and other trust-sensitive issues. So there is a proposal to do a public advisory board. The people that have been involved from ALAC so far have been Alan, myself, and Olivier. We've done a couple of drafts of a letter. The letter has gone to the board. The board has punted it back, and essentially it has been rejected. It's been presented to the board GTLD committee. They have politely rejected it back. That has been, shall we say, an unsatisfactory response. And so one of the things that is happening right now is that I'm in the process of creating a workspace on the wiki that is intended to culminate in ALAC voting on having a public comment period to solicit at-large and public comments on the idea of a public advisory board to supplement, if not replace, the PIC program and actually bring some public interest back into some of the, call them, trust-sensitive strings in the TLD program. Thanks. Was that fast enough?
That was absolutely okay. Fantastic. Thank you. I hope everyone else has recorded this one because it's very compressed.
Well, I will send an email to everyone. Right now, I'm working privately on a document because the Confluence Wiki is public, and I don't want to have people picking apart my half-finished work. So I'm going to put together a draft, run it past a couple of people. When that's done, put that up on the Confluence Wiki for ALAC comment consideration, bring it to an ALAC vote, and hopefully we have a comment period going on during the Singapore meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Timeline for this, please?
My goal is to have the wiki workspace up by midweek. We're already close to midweek, so sometime through the week I'll finish it. My preamble to the letter is about halfway done, so it should be just a couple of days.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Timeline, staff, if the ALAC was to vote on a public comment to be launched on this, how much time would you need to prepare this?
Matt, that's still a question for you. Matt?
Have we lost Matt?
Sorry,
no,
Olivier.
No, it's me. It's me. I just actually was on hold, or mute. For a public comment, I only need a couple hours notice and I can get it out, to be honest with you.
So to basically ask for a public comment icon-wide, you need a couple of hours to get it out.
Yeah, that's it. And the schedule, whatever you want, it's not hard. Fine.
Okay. I thought that was more than that, because on the previous occasion when the ALAC did ask for public comments, it was on the It was on the rules of procedure, I think, and that took a little amount for staff to prepare intro, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
if you say it's a couple of hours, that's fine.
Oh, when we did one on R3, that took a while.
Well,
R3, yeah.
Do you want a real public comment?
Oh yes, we want the public comment to be put over to ICANN wide.
Oh yeah, Matt. This is meant to be a real full blown. This is meant to be a real full blown public comment, R3 stuff.
You want about 2 weeks, but to be honest, Heidi's the only one on staff who's ever been allowed to do that. So I think you should. I defer to her and her knowledge.
Then it's Alan, if I may interject. Then Heidi should be starting to lay the work right now, not waiting for our statement to be approved.
Yep.
Okay, Matt and I can follow up on that with Ariel.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's going to be
a
good start for Ariel.
So you have my commitment
for this, but that's great. Yeah.
So you have my commitment that I will create a wiki page. Actually, I do have a wiki page right now, but it has a single word placeholder in it. I will send in the link. I will send the link now, and it will be filled within 2 days.
Super. Thanks very much, Matt. Evan, sorry, why am I calling you Matt now? This is strange. It must be the time of the night, isn't it? Yes, it's gone past midnight, and I've turned into a pumpkin. Okay, let's move on. Number 7, update of compliance issue raised by Garth.
Oh, dear.
We need to find out what's happening. Where are we at now? I know, Alan, you have provided, you've sent 2 emails to the leadership team since the call has started, and you have provided some details as to what has been happening. I note that there has been a complaint from you with that has been sent over to compliance, but maybe you're better suited to let us know where we are.
Well, you've just announced it all. By the way, you called him Matt because if Matt's leaving, we still need some Matt, so someone has to take on the name. okay, yes, I'm afraid I was delayed. Again, real life sometimes gets in the way. I'm sorry. The complaint on the specific issue has been submitted. You can see it in your email boxes. I sent it to the ALT and to Garth. I very carefully kept it exceedingly focused, with only one exception. That is, I mentioned other incorrect addresses, but it's not really salient to this complaint. To try to make sure that we didn't provide them any option for rejecting it on extraneous grounds. The second part of the proposal, of the task, was to start a proposal, a recommendation to contractual compliance to establish a new kind of complaint submission process. I'm still waiting for the wiki page to be created, so in the interim I sent it to again, to the ALT and to Garth for comments. Yeah. I don't think it needs to be much longer than that, but I'm sure that there's some refinement that needs to be done. As I was writing it, came up with the correspondence to the UDRP, which explicitly allows a complainant to file multiple requests in the same UDRP request if they are related. So I was proud of that I remember that little bit, because it makes it a stronger argument. And the only decision now is the detailed wording and then to decide whether it's me submitting it on behalf of the... I think we should have a vote on this one, a quick vote, but a vote, and then either Olivier submits it under his name and perhaps identifies me or someone as the contact person to discuss it, or I submit it on behalf of the ALAC and I follow up on it. That's it.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Yeah, I was surprised. It ended up taking a lot less words than I thought it would take. So, but I finally got it finished today.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions? I see agreement from Maureen and support from Maureen on this. I don't see anyone else wanting to add on this. I think I'll let everyone read the emails and then follow up by email after the end of this call.
Yeah, and as soon as I get any initial comments back and the web space is up, I will put it on the web space and then announce it to the rest of the ALAC.
Okay.
Because we did discuss the intent to do this on the last ALAC call,
mm-hmm.
So it's not a secret.
Okay. Let's move on. Number 8 in our agenda, suggestions for the ALAC meeting of 25 February. That's in about a week's time. Any thoughts, anything that needs to be discussed? Should we put an update on the policy advisory board discussion, an update on the compliance issue that has been raised, and then, of course, our usual policy developments?
Yeah, I would hope we're ready to vote on the recommendation to compliance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so we'll just have the usual agenda as well. Any working group updates? Perhaps something from the BNSPC?
It's Alan. I'd like an update to do an update on policy and implementation.
Okay, thank you. Maureen Hilliard, do you have the floor?
Thank you, Olivia. I just wanted to mention that perhaps some comments from people about the ALAC-CCNSO meeting that we have in Singapore. I put up the agenda. We've got a meeting on Thursday morning. And, to have everyone could have a look at the agenda to see if it suits. And I can, if you give me some comments that I might be able to take back to the meeting on Thursday. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Maureen. We'll have that. Evan Lipovich?
I also just want to raise two other issues that we've been following that are starting to wind themselves down. One is the issue of the IGO-NGO stuff, the whole Red Cross IOC stuff. That's gone to the board from a very confused statement from the GNSO, and the board reply has been similarly confused. I think it's punting stuff. The other thing that I think is coming to a close that I'm really happy to see is the acceptance of the Who Is Review report.
Yeah.
So it's not something that requires action on our part, but it's just a note that there's an awful lot of people did a lot of hard work from our side on this, and that part looks like it's coming to closure.
Does this need its own agenda item on the next agenda?
Alan's next in the queue, so you can speak better than me on that, Alan.
Alan Greenberg?
We can certainly talk about it. I don't think there's any real discussion. We can update people. I put my hand up to say I think what the board did is exactly in line with what we said, and justifies our position. There are people on the GNSO who are very upset that the board didn't simply say we have a ruling from the we have a recommendation from the GNSO. It shall make it so according to Captain Picard. They didn't say that because what they got from the GNSO was not something that was wholly consistent and addressed all of the issues. And
just as we said,
and they're looking for a diplomatic way of fixing the problem. And You know, so I think it's following the exact path that we predicted, and we should be pleased. If they had simply taken unilateral action to ignore the GNSO or to simply do what the GNSO said and ignore the GAC, I don't think we'd be in a very good copacetic world. So I think the world is unfolding as it should, given the ugliness of the world. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. All right, I don't see anyone putting their hand up for additional items on this on the next call agenda, so we'll leave it as such, and with all of the input that we've had so far, and we'll probably have to listen to the recording again or read the transcript by the time the call arrives so as to make sure we haven't forgotten any of the agenda items on the next ALAC call. With this, I think we can move over to any other business. I don't see anyone put their hand up. We've pretty much discussed absolutely everything and anything under the sun. So thank you to all of you
on
this.
Thank you, everybody.
And I would like to thank staff for having lasted on this very, very long ALT call, 2.5 hours. Well done, everyone. We'll, of course, follow up on the mailing list, and this call is therefore now adjourned. Thank you,
everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a very good day.